Hey, it's the Product Experience. Every week, we talk to the best product people about how to get better at our practice. I'm Randy Silver.
And I'm Lily Smith. And today we get to talk about things.
Ooh, I like things. What kind of things, though?
Connected things. We invited Daniel Elizalde on, as he is the man to speak with if you want to learn about how to manage Internet of Things products.
Oh, that's right. He teaches IoT product management at Stanford, and he looks after Ericsson's IoT stuff in North America. And I've always wondered, what makes managing IoT stuff so special? We've both dealt with hardware and software before.
And that's exactly why we're speaking with him, Randy. He gave us some great answers on why IoT is special. So let's jump straight in. Okay, Randy, let's try an experiment. Can we do a promo in under 20 seconds?
Okay, let's try. The Product Experience is part of the Mind the Product Network. Every week, we talk to the best product people from around the globe about how we improve our practice.
Aside from conferences in London, San Francisco, Singapore, Hamburg, and Manchester, there's also free product tanks in more than 185 cities, and there's probably one near you.
Find out about them on mindtheproduct.com, where you can also catch up on past episodes, videos from the conferences, read great articles, and learn about the training that we do.
Hi, Daniel Elizalde. Welcome to the Product Experience podcast. It's really nice to have you on the podcast with us.
Thank you so much, Lily. It's very nice to be here.
So first of all, kick us off with a bit of an intro into how you got into product management or what your background in product management is and how you became this kind of IoT product specialist.
For sure. First of all, thank you for the opportunity of having me in the show. I've been a big fan of Mind the Products for many, many years, and I've had a long relationship with you guys. I actually used to run the product tank in San Francisco, and I've actually done several workshops at the Mind the Product Conference in London and San Francisco, and I've been in your blog, and I've been interviewed by you. So it's been a great relationship, and I really appreciate you guys having me in your show again.
So you've got the hat trick with the podcast interview now as well.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's been a great part of my product career for sure. And I think very highly of the team, anybody from Martin and Jana and everybody.
Oh, thank you. They are an amazing team. We agree. So tell us about your background in product management.
So I've been working in product-related roles for about 20 years in my career. And I started as an engineer and doing technical support initially. So that was really interesting because you get to hear the pains of the customers directly, right? Mm-hmm. So every call is an angry customer. So it starts getting you that empathy. And then as I continue my career, I was a solutions architect and in a consulting group for an automation company. And I was building the solutions for manufacturing systems. And that's where I started to get into product because I would go around the world with the sales team, talking to customers, figuring out what their pain points were so that we can build solutions for them. And I would go back and work with marketing and R&D and other organizations to influence the roadmap and talk about why the customers wanted what they wanted, and then interfacing with sales again and executives. And I really fell in love with that type of a role where you are able to talk to customers, understand their pains, and then work with the organization to solve their needs. And I thought there must be a job like this. Of course, back then, they really didn't call it product management, but that's where it really started for me. And after that, I had the opportunity to work as a product manager for a data acquisition type of system for manufacturing. And that's where I started to get involved with the product profession, reading every book that I could get my hands on, starting with Inspire from Barty Kagan, you know, the first one. Mm-hmm. And then throughout my career, I've had multiple roles. I was head of programs for a UX agency doing user research, so understanding the value of research for our customers. I've managed cloud platforms. And then I moved to the Bay Area. I was in Austin, Texas at the time. I moved to the Bay Area, and I was fortunate to be head of products for a startup doing energy storage systems for the smart grid. And that's when I started running Product Tank San Francisco and, you know, getting deeper and deeper into the product profession as a whole. And then I became an independent consultant, and I had the opportunity to teach around the world and consult with companies. And I was able to teach at Stanford University. I teach IoT product management. And then recently, about 6 months ago, I had the opportunity to join Ericsson as a VP head of IoT. And it is definitely a product role. It's an innovation role. So that's my journey.
That's awesome. And there's just so many different steps there that you took along the way. And I'd love to kind of find out more information about all of that. But we're going to talk about the IoT side of things today. And before we get into IoT product management, how do you kind of describe what IoT is? How do you classify it?
For sure. That's a good question, right? Because there's a million definitions out there. My definition is that the Internet of Things is a network of connected devices. So it's hardware devices that have some software running into them, could be embedded software or something like that. And this hardware is acquiring signals from the real world, sensing their environment. The products collect that data, process it in the devices themselves, we call it at the edge. And then through some communication mechanism, could be wired or wireless, they move that data to a centralized location, usually the cloud. And then on top of that, you have applications. But the key aspect is that IoT, from that perspective, is just a tool. So all of this that I described has to be in the service of providing value to the companies and to the users, right? So my definition of IoT is a system that has all these components and provides value to companies and to users.
So would you consider mobile phones to be IoT devices as well? Because when I think of IoT, I think of like things that are not typically used to connect to the internet, or like not consumer technology, I guess, like laptops and mobile phones.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. From a technology perspective, yes, they do. They have all those different components. They have sensors and they have local processing and they have connectivity and they usually connect to the cloud. Those devices, I think, are a little bit of the exception. So when I'm talking about IoT, it's devices that are less generic purpose. And, you know, we have been doing IoT for a long time. And then the advent of the cell phone came about a few years back. And so those devices are kind of in between. They can be part of an IoT solution. But when we say IoT, really, we define more in the either consumer type of space when you have gadgets and home appliances, things like that, or the industrial space where you have industrial type equipment that is monitoring the context of a factory or an airplane or a wind farm, something like that.
Yeah, so it's things with kind of a much more specific purpose than a kind of general...
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
But I do have to say that often when you're prototyping this type of solutions, you can actually use a cell phone. An iPhone has enough power and sensors that you can use it as a prototyping tool to get answers quickly. So yeah, there's all sorts of tricks we can do.
Well, that's interesting. So I'm going to be cynical for a moment. Why is IoT product management different than any other kind of product management? I mean, we do hardware, we do software. I've worked with stores and bank branches and places like that where we've had to the intersection of physical and digital, but it's usually about people using devices. What's so special about IoT?
Well, what's special, it's really not there's anything special. It's just that I see it as a superset of traditional product management. So most product management, in my experience, is either on the hardware side or on the software side. And usually it's either, if it's in the software side, it could be just an embedded app or it could be just something on the cloud. But when you're talking IoT, I think of IoT product management as the superset of the profession that has to put all of these things together. And you have to deal with the innovative business models that these types of solutions allow, plus the security challenges and the regulation challenges, right? So it's just a way to categorize the complexity that comes with this type of solutions, right? And I talk to many people that have been working with hardware software solutions. And when we discuss, they say, oh, then I guess I've been doing IoT product management for some time. So sure, right? It's not necessarily new, but it's a way to categorize how all the different pieces fit together and helps us think about the relationship of all this different complexity from the hardware perspective and what that means to the business model, to the development process, to the deployment process, et cetera.
When you teach your classes, whether it's Stanford or the workshops or anywhere else, is there something that's kind of an aha moment for people to say, oh, I get why this is different. This is the extra thing I really need to think about that I was missing before.
Yes, there's a few of those. And I think the aha moment comes from realizing all the different pieces that need to fit together. So we're talking about the device hardware, the device software, the connectivity, the cloud, the applications. But also, just like in any other product, you have to think about the user experience and the needs of your users. And you have to think about the data strategy, and you have to think about the business model and the security models. The aha moment comes when you put all those things together. And like I said, most people are either hardware PMs or embedded PMs or cloud PMs. And so when they step back and see that an IoT product has all those components at the same time, it gives them that appreciation of how complex this really is, right? So like I said, we've been doing hardware product management forever or cloud product management for a while, et cetera. But it's when you put all those things together in a way that you can actually articulate it to your company and you can actually deliver solutions to your customers, that's when the aha moment is like, oh, I see. You're putting a name to all these things that I kind of knew but didn't know how they fit together.
Well, I'm convinced, I think, that IoT product managers are now the super product managers that can basically do everything. and I agree. I think that there's... with product management, it's such a kind of broad job. And we see, you know, in the conversations that we've had before on the podcast, actually, people talking about how you can kind of be a specialist product manager that works at product market fit stage and then a product manager at growth stage. And it kind of makes sense to me that you would have an IoT PM. And what I haven't heard of actually yet is like an AI PM or something like that. But yeah, it makes sense to me. And it does sound particularly challenging.
Well, there's actually AI product managers, and I'm starting to see them more and more. In fact, here at Ericsson in our Silicon Valley office, the D15 incubation hub, we run monthly events with the IoT ecosystem. And in this month's event, I have somebody that's presenting about AI product management. So I think that overall, these disciplines like IoT product management, they're product management first and foremost. Our role is to ensure value to our customers and to our companies. And then we just have these specialties, right? The way I think about it for IoT is that, you know, a generic product manager would be like a doctor, and then an IoT product manager is like a neurosurgeon, right? It's like there's just another level of specialization and complexity that we all need to work together for this super complex products that we are all launching these days.
And Lily, I think one of our former guests might be take exception to the fact that you haven't met any AI product managers.
Well, he was a founder of a company. So.
Fair enough. Okay. Daniel, just leads to an interesting question. I love the analogy about doctors and brain surgeons, although the rest of us, the GPs may be a little bit offended by the analogy. But is there something special that you look for when you're recruiting or hiring IoT people? Are there different skills or experience that you're looking for?
Yes, that's a great question because, like I said, IoT product management is product management first and foremost. And when you are building an IoT product management team, then what you're doing is you're first and foremost trying to create a very strong team. And what that means is that the complexity of an IoT solution is so big that you can't expect one person to be an expert in all the different components of the solution, plus the user experience, plus the business modeling, plus the security implications, plus the regulation. So as head of products, your role is to build a strong team. So that means that each person in your team should complement each other. so that across your team, you actually have coverage. So it's important that everybody understands the different pieces of IoT and how they fit together. But then you have your cloud specialist, and then you have your edge specialist, and then you have your user centricity expert, and then you have your business model experts. And they're all product managers, but together you orchestrate a solution. And so the role of a head of product for an IoT team is to make sure that you have that cohesiveness in your team so that you can actually attack the solutions in a holistic way.
And you want the different product managers and in the team to have a mix of those specialties. You're not relying on the other members of the wider product team, the developers and everybody else, to supply that specialization.
No, actually, I want everybody to contribute, because again, these are so complex. First of all, in the product profession, we all need to work together with, you know, designers and developers and security experts and regulation experts. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to look for all the different components for your solution. And sometimes some of my architects in the engineering team play a product role for a particular time in the project, but because ultimately we're launching innovation products. And so you just have to make sure that you involve all the different areas and have a product mindset as to what you're building, which is one of the challenges with IoT, that often companies have a technology view of things and it's all just about putting the components together. So I think that's why the strength of the team is so important. But ultimately, right, it's about serving the needs of your users. And so, you know, can they do research, and can you understand users, and can you do those kind of things? It's super important, right?
And you mentioned earlier that one of the businesses you worked in was an IoT startup. When you were working in that company, were there very specific challenges with kind of starting an IoT business that you had to contend with?
Yes, for sure. And I think one interesting thing is that the startup was doing energy storage solutions for the smart grid. And so the company wouldn't necessarily call themselves an IoT company. The product just happened to have the characteristics of an IoT solution. So therefore, a set of products, I had to build an IoT type of team. Mm-hmm. And so some of the challenges that I saw in that startup, I see in all sorts of startups, medium companies, and also large organizations. Some of the tough decisions about build versus buy, I think, are very critical and difficult for the product team to make. Meaning, should you build the hardware, or should you use off-the-shelf hardware? Do you leverage off-the-shelf embedded software, or you build your own? What about the cloud? What about your applications? And so I think those decisions, when you're a startup, I see a lot more startups wanting to build a lot more because they believe their IP is valuable at that level. But in reality, I think the smaller you are as a company, the more you should just buy off the shelf and rely on partners. The bigger you are, then you have the ability to do that if it makes business sense, right? The decisions that I make now at Ericsson, which is a 110,000 people company, are going to be very different to a startup, but the business and user centricity needs to be front and center always, right?
So if your startup was something that relied on an IoT solution and it had that hardware component and the kind of the software component, you would recommend to kind of start the business off just buying in the hardware?
I would so, because I think that as product managers, our goal is to get to market fit. And so we try to be as lean as possible, iterate as much as possible, build prototypes. We're in the search of market fit. And if you are going to do a full production run on hardware and industrialize it, and it's going to take you 2 years and you don't even know if it's the right solution, then you're going to miss the mark, right? So because hardware takes so much longer, in our journey to market fit, we should take advantage of rapid prototyping and using as much off the shelf as possible. Because my philosophy is that on the road to MVP, you shouldn't focus on size of the device, like miniaturization or optimizing for battery life or optimizing for processing power or optimizing for cost, that will come later once you hit market fit. But if you optimize for those things now and you don't hit market fit, it was for nothing, right?
So let me see if I can pull that all together. You're saying that you might make different decisions about the go-to-market strategy at a company like Ericsson, and I don't want to put words in your mouth or talk about Ericsson's specific policy or strategy, but you might make different decisions at an enterprise than you would at a startup, but you might still take that off-the-shelf approach and use pre-existing components for an MVP, but you might then decide to do bespoke hardware for an enterprise where you might not for a startup. Is that fair?
Yeah, that is fair. And I think it's about making those decisions with knowledge and making conscious decisions. When I teach my classes at Stanford and people do their projects together and they're running through a strategy exercise, one of the parameters that I always ask them to specify is the size of their make-believe company. And so the decisions of their product strategy have to be aligned with their size of their company. The students say, well, we are a 10-person startup, therefore their build versus buy strategy needs to be in line with a 10-person startup versus if you are a Fortune 10 company, right? And a funny example, we're talking to some executives about this build versus buy, you know, asking them, so would you build or buy your networking hardware? It's like, oh, no, we would buy it. And it's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And it's like, no, we would buy a company that has those assets for us. It's like, well, I guess you can, right? So, you know, the strategy, there's no right or wrong. So the principles are the same. It's just a matter of understanding how can you march towards product market fit that is consistent with the capabilities of your company and where you are in your journey at this point, right? Whether it's IoT or any other, right?
I love that. That is not specific to IoT at all, but it absolutely makes sense.
Yes.
So you mentioned in our notes to each other about the IoT product management being an ecosystem play. What does that mean, an ecosystem play, and why is it specifically IoT that is an ecosystem play?
That's a great question, and I don't think IoT is exclusively the only one that is ecosystem play, but I think it's important to emphasize that because IoT solutions are so complex because they have all these different parts, right? They have the hardware, the sensors, the embedded, then they have the communications and the networking and the cloud. And then if you think about their life cycle, right? They have, let's say, industrial applications. They have to be installed, and that might be, you know, another company that installs it and provisioned and maintained and operated. So there's really not a single company that can produce all the technology necessary for a solution or all the services to support one of these solutions. You know, when I started talking about these topics years ago, a lot of companies were trying to do everything themselves, and it was a losing proposition. It doesn't matter how big the company is, there's just not enough money or time to market, right? Yeah, if you have 10 years to launch your project, well, maybe, right? So therefore, leveraging the strength of the ecosystem is extremely important because one of the reasons why IoT is evolving and improving so rapidly is because there's a very rich ecosystem of all the different components. The hardware has advanced a lot, and it's at a price point that is very accessible and it's extremely powerful. Then you have the embedded software has advanced a lot. The networks are at a tipping point right now with technologies like 5G and the throughput that they provide. Cloud is ubiquitous, and it's the storage is cheap and accessible, right? So you have to combine all those different things and make a solution so that you can advance faster. But it's not only on the technical side. How are you going to go to market? Who's going to install it? Who's going to service it? If you have APIs, for example, you need a developer community and an ecosystem to build on top. And so there's all these different facets that product management need to understand so that you can actually craft your overarching product strategy to address all of these components, right? And it does sound like a lot. You don't have to do it all at the same time, but as an IoT product manager, we have to think about those things, and then our roadmap needs to reflect that overarching ecosystem strategy as we move forward.
So how does that affect your roadmap?
That's a great question, right? So a lot of it is...
You did walk right into it.
I know, right? Well, I think that the important part is if you have that strategy of, let's say, my hardware, I'm going to get from the ecosystem, well, then the roadmap that you're going to build yourself has to tie in to whatever ecosystem vendors you get. Or if let's say that you're a product company and then somebody else is going to install it. Let's say you're doing manufacturing solutions and you don't do installation. Okay, then you have to have an ecosystem partner that installs the solution for you. Therefore, the roadmap needs to have features that make it easy for that third party to install and verify that the system is ready. If somebody else is going to maintain that from the ecosystem, then your roadmap has to accommodate features that make it easy for third parties to maintain and so on, right? So the moment you start bringing other people into the solution, then your roadmap needs to make sure that you accommodate all those different pieces. So, you know, from a product management perspective, all of a sudden you have a lot more personas that have different needs and touching points with your products and that you need to add value to them. So your roadmap starts growing not only horizontally, but grows tentacles to how do you provide value to all these ecosystem players, right?
So IoT was kind of like this buzzword that came in a few years ago. And then a few other things happened, like, I don't know, AI and machine learning and some other things as well. I don't even know what the buzzword is these days. I've kind of lost touch. But I kind of feel like it sort of quietly sat in the background while things like 5G have loomed in the future, if you like. But maybe that's kind of just from where I'm sat and my experience as maybe a consumer of potential IoT solutions.
Are you asking where it is in the hype cycle?
Yeah, basically.
And are you asking where IoT is in the cycle or where 5G or both?
Well, I suppose my question is really, have we got to a point now where we're seeing valuable, useful IoT businesses and products coming out of incubators and out of these of businesses? Or are we still at the point where we're experimenting and playing around with things to see what will actually work?
That's a great point. And so overall, we are still relatively early in the journey of adoption, but we're actually seeing a lot of very valuable applications that are getting ground and are actually generating a lot of value to companies. And oftentimes, those applications are not necessarily marketed as an IoT application per se, but it's the way that they contribute to overall value of the solution that makes them really powerful. For example, a Tesla vehicle, a car, you wouldn't think of that as an IoT solution, but it is, right? Because it has all these components and it's acquiring a ton of data, processing it at the edge, sending it to the cloud, doing all this analysis. And so they've been able to use or leverage IoT as a key differentiator internally to do their analytics and internally to do a lot of their product roadmap, et cetera, but they use it for many different purposes, right? So it's not that Tesla itself is selling an IoT product. It's just part of what it adds value. So I think what we're seeing a lot is that realization that from a technology perspective, we have all the building blocks and we can actually provide that value. But now we're starting to see what are the business models that actually make sense when we put all this together. For example, there's a growing opportunity for the as a service type of business model. If you have a expensive asset, you know, a big turbine or a big motor, well, maybe your customers don't want to buy it off the bat, pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. Well, as a vendor, you might add some IoT components, sensors, so that you can determine the health of it. And then what you're selling is turbine maintenance as a service. And so the customer pays just for the monitoring on a monthly fee, and you provide maintenance, and then you make money on the maintenance, right? As opposed to the asset. And so what we're seeing is that companies are starting to figure out that they can use this technology as a tool to enhance their business models. And there's a lot of success cases that we're seeing that about that now. Less of the hype of, I have this gadget, this smart toaster that's connected to the cloud, yeah, those are not going to continue to make a lot of progress.
So we've got some exciting things coming up with the advent of 5G and things like that, or at least from the outside, that seems exciting. Where do you see this all going over the next few years?
As you know, Ericsson is one of the main manufacturers and developers of this 5G technology. So we're really excited about the possibilities that it brings to our customers and to the world, really. And the way I see it is that if you think about the history of technology, and history might be an overstatement, right? But the different components that make an IoT solution, all these different components have advanced significantly in terms of power and coming down on cost. So the devices, the microprocessors and the chips and the sensors are now very cheap, very small, very fast. They consume very little power. And then the bottleneck was somewhere else, because now you can produce a ton of data, but you can't really process it. Well, now the cloud is ubiquitous and it's cheap and it's extensible. Okay, now you can process it there. And so you start seeing that all these different components are advancing. What we're seeing is that 5G is that next generation of technological revolution that completes the puzzle. Because now with 5G, you have big throughput, low latency, the ability to connect millions of devices for massive IoT deployments. And so now you have all the components, and it opens up the possibility for product managers to say, how can I provide value to my customers now that all this infrastructure building blocks are available to us, right? And so I think what we're going to continue to see is that these technologies enable the next generation of innovation. We talk about artificial intelligence and all the things that it can do. Well, you need to move around a lot of data for artificial intelligence, right? The models are very hungry. And if you are producing that data from your devices and you have to process it in the cloud, well, with 5G, now you have the pipe to actually move that data. So what could you do now that you're able to do artificial intelligence models almost in real time, right? So that's the opportunity for us as product managers to innovate and provide value to our companies and our customers.
So is that the thing that we should, as non-IoT PMs, is that the thing we should be really looking forward to, the how quickly we can get access to and move data around? Or is there anything else that we should specifically be on the watch for or start planning around?
That's a great point. And I would actually counter that by saying, I believe that IoT product management will become or is becoming the standard. So pretty much most product managers will become IoT product managers, because now the ability to connect the physical world to the digital world, the tool set is there and the infrastructure is there. And so as we continue to figure out new paths of innovation and revenue for our companies, in order to compete, we have to start moving into this direction, right? A lot of companies are starting to move into machine learning and AI. And so I would say for product managers, now that we are in this era of IoT and AI, how can you actually benefit your company and your customers by leveraging this infrastructure, right? What are the innovation possibilities that are open to you, as opposed to saying, well, that's not for me, right? Because people said things like that on when the iPhone was launched. It's like, well, mobile is not for me. And now, like, all software applications have to run on mobile. It's just the way we build products. So I think connected devices or connectivity of the digital and physical world is just how we're going to continue to build products moving forward.
Great point.
So it all sounds very sci-fi. What are the risks with having everything so connected? You know, I can just imagine businesses sort of relying on the Internet of Things and then terrible things happening with our 5G network and, you know, the world basically coming to a stop.
Yes, so you're right. And that's a big challenge, because more we connect things, the more opportunity there is for things to go wrong and to hack some of those systems. And part of the challenge with IoT is that you have a connection to the physical world. So you can actually cause some real harm. Let's say, what happens if somebody hacks an autonomous vehicle, or, you know, a robotic arm in a factory goes crazy? So the challenge here for us in product management is that we need to embrace how this technology is changing and that this is a new reality. So instead of thinking about just what is the risk, think about how does the profession have to evolve in order to produce secure products as we move forward. I know that we often talk about in the product world about Marty Kagan that the role of PMs is to build products that customers love. Mm-hmm. I would say in the era of IoT, we have to start by building products that customers trust. And that has to be embedded in our way of doing things. It has to be part of the roadmap. It just has to become the way we do it because this is just a new reality. And as PMs, we have that responsibility. So we just have to put more attention to it as opposed to trying to just put the brakes on it. We have to figure out how do we protect our customers and our companies.
So that's, again, and not to sound like a broken record, that's not unique to IoT either. I've worked in financial services and other regulated industries where it's the same concern. But what's your approach to it? How do you make sure that you've got security, the right kind of governance built in from the ground up?
Yeah, the way I approach it is that I look for embedding security very early on as part of the product strategy. As you are defining what are your use cases and what is your personas and the business cases that you're going to solve, security has to be a component there. You have to be able to say what are the risks associated with the solution we're proposing and how are we going to manage that both during the development lifecycle, but also during the customer lifecycle. Once you deploy something, how are you going to determine if something has been hacked or how are you going to determine if you're being attacked? And then how does your roadmap need to accommodate those scenarios, right? And so it's about making sure that you put that type of thinking in the forefront. And then if you put security as a top concern, then it becomes an item that needs to be prioritized like any other roadmap item. And so you might have time for some things, you might not have time for others, and then you prioritize. But if you always think about the roadmap is about just customer-facing features and then security, somebody else will look at it, that's a mentality change that we have to have. And of course, leveraging the ecosystem, right? Bringing in the experts in security, either from within your company or external, that can help you secure all these different things throughout the life cycle of your product.
And I've seen it so many times where that's handled almost a waterfall. Let's get all the product team to do all the work, and then we do a security review. And that's just the kiss of death. It never works very well. Do you
exactly?
So, how do you structure it differently? Do you bring security people in as part of the team, or is it an education in security for everybody?
Yes, I handle it differently in the sense that I try to be as quote unquote lean as possible. Making sure that all the different disciplines are represented as you plan the product strategy and as you continue with your development, right? So if we think about your typical Scrum team, like thinking about agile development, you have developers and now we have more UX folks if you're doing dual track agile. And then you have QA people and product managers. Then my philosophy is that you should have people from the security background as part of the team. And you also should have people with regulatory compliance background in the team, because those are the components that are going to really impact your solution. And so as opposed to waiting in a waterfall fashion, you know, with every iteration, whether it is a discovery iteration, a strategic iteration, or a development iteration, you should have the voice of people in security, making sure that they are, you know, putting their voice out there. And then you should also have all the different things that you normally have with penetration testing and compliance and all that, right? But it starts with creating that philosophy that putting security by design and as part of the development process is not going to slow you down per se. It's actually going to protect your company and your customers. So you just have to incorporate it. And as product managers, part of our challenge is to selling that story to our executives and saying, yay, you know, we need the extra resources and it might take a little bit longer, but it's much preferable.
Yeah. And I think I would disagree with Randy in that, you know, with sort of financial security, people will lose money, but with IoT security, potentially, you know, there could be loss of life if someone hacks into your car and then makes it smash into a wall. So it does seem like a very specific and different risk from my point of view.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I think that the profession, the product management profession, needs to grow to embrace these challenges that the technology brings, also the opportunities, of course, but like the challenges, right? Just thinking about security needs to be first and foremost. I've always been very happy to see how Mind the Product always brings in the conferences somebody to talk about ethics and the social responsibility, right? So those are the core things that we have to embrace as part of the profession. So it's not just launching products that, you know, yes, they solve a problem, but hey, what about security? What about regulation? What about social responsibility? So I think the profession needs to embrace those concepts so that we can be better citizens of the world.
Daniel, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast. And I hope you'll come back another time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure working with Mind the Product as always. And I look forward to keeping in touch.
So what do you think? Are IoT product managers really super product managers?
I actually think all product managers are pretty super product managers. But, you know, I always say this job really is quite hard, but it can also be great. But also, yeah, it sounds like IoT product management has some extra layers of complexity.
Well, at least we can help in our small way by sharing a bit of knowledge and expertise from somebody like Daniel.
That's very true. And if you're enjoying this podcast, please like and subscribe and tell all your friends. See you next time. The Product Experience is part of the Mind the Product Network. Our hosts are me, that's Lily Smith, and Randy Silver.
Emily Tate is our producer and Luke Smith is our editor. Emily is ours alone, but we're happy to share Luke if you need someone to edit your own podcast.
Hey, you can't share him too much. He's my husband. Our theme music is from Hamburg-based band POW. That's P-A-U. Thanks to Arnie Kittler, who runs Product Tank and MTP Engage in Hamburg and plays bass in the band, for letting us use the music.
And sign up for your local Product Tank, a regular meetup in over 185 cities worldwide. There's probably one someone near you. And if there's not, you can start one yourself. To find out more, go to mindtheproduct.com/producttank. Here's Global Coordinator Mark Abraham to tell you more about it.
Product Tank is a global community of meetups in over 155 cities across the world, driven by and for product managers. Whether you have a group discussion or you're listening to speakers, the whole idea is to create a safe environment for product people to come together and to share their learnings and tips.